Carrion, valet, butler, rather intolerable man, lazy to boot. Agnes, maid, cook, underpaid, odd opinions, Scottish, wonderful. Niall Pierce, the tenant, proven Pyramus, mystery still abounds. Young Hawks, mighty Nigel Hawks, St. Crispian's unlikely vicar. Duke of Islington, disapproving, well-educated, I believe. The Roman, St. Crispian's resident ghost, whom I've yet to see in person. Mary Barrage, fellow survivor at Fortitude, a preparatory school for girls. Jack Hollingstell, Mary's pretend cousin, scoundrel, owed two favours. Roland Sutherland, childhood nemesis turned gorgeous sun god. Sophronia March, old friend, artist, painting in Italy. Miss Hunt, unlikable, husband hunting, her sights set on Roland. Charles Goddard, tall, skinny flagpole, my unintended intended. Mr. Penury, very serious banker. Evelyn Stewart, Maxwell's older brother. Maxwell Stewart, January the 31st, 1861, to July the 27th, 1880. September the 1st. Dr. Fairchild has just left. Goodness me. It was a solid hour of spectacle. Parian spent a majority of the time sorting out Cousin Archibald's morning robe of choice for his return to the world of the living. I, meanwhile, was relegated to his sock drawer, wherein dwelt a mythical pair he declared would be gentle on his feet. All the while, Fairchild was consumed with the attempt to assure my eccentric cousin that the cane he was to use had not been tampered with by one Emma M. Lyon. Tempting in hindsight, tempting still. Cousin Archibald is now back on his feet and can even manage the stairs. Strike that. And can, unfortunately, manage the stairs.
Twice each day for the first week, Fairchild prescribed. Next week, I will suggest you taking your meals downstairs and a short walk only to the end of the street. You will be back to near normal in no time. Perhaps you should take your tea in the drawing room today, a sweet incentive to begin. I will help you stand. Here we go.
Let it be noted that Parry and Agnes and I flinched when he uttered those words. Glumly, we followed the doctor and Cousin Archibald down the stairs and into the drawing room. Once he was settled, we all retreated. Agnes put on a brave face, but her wistful smile as she walked back to the kitchen to prepare Archibald's tea was reminiscent of a bygone era. Fairchild was eager to be gone.
I'm pleased to have it sorted, he told me as I saw him to the door. I'll check back in a month's time. But your cousin's leg should mend well enough.
He smiled at me and then left the house quickly before a wail of complaint could call him back. A wonderful doctor, Fairchild, but I do feel that he's released something horrible into the world. September the 2nd. Notes exchanged through the wall.
I believe I should warn you.
Heavens, of what?
Now that I've an established studio, I plan to give my friends, acquaintances, and clients the address.
Does such a normal act require a warning, Pierce?
I feel it does. I wonder, however, what I should give as the directions. Is lapis lazuli minor known by Her Majesty's Postal Service?
Oh dear, I'd not thought of that. I'm not certain it is. Why not give the address as Lapis Lazuli House, and Agnes can slip your correspondence below the studio door? I can't imagine it to be a hassle.
You imagine wrong. It may prove to be a great hassle.
Nonsense. The letters sent to this house are easily sorted on the side table. Yours will